I guess in terms of what I'm doing, the sort of the day job, as it were, is our gin and our beer that we're selling. And the pop-up's the sort of next phase of the project. So at the moment, it's just me working on it full-time. There's lots of other people that are kind of helping out when they can. But it's quite a kind of demand on my time to do all these different things. I'm sitting, you know, the pop-up is extremely demanding on everyone's time, most of mine. So a lot of things got neglected in the weeks before around the gin and the beer and the kind of the other stuff that we've been doing. So that week afterwards, there was just suddenly all this stuff that just had to get done.
How did your project come about?
It's something that we kind of talked about as a family for years and years and years. So my family are based at the Harwood Estate, just north of Leeds. We've got this kind of amazing heritage of food and drink production that comes from there. It goes back hundreds of years. And, you know, it continues to this day. But it's just not something that has ever really been sort of promoted or celebrated or shouted about. So that's kind of how it happened, really. Just, you know, there's just all this untapped potential, which I feel is so relevant today in the kind of way that people want to, you know, people want to know where their food comes from. They want to know that it's done in the right way. They want to know it comes from the right places. And they kind of want, you know, they want to know the names of the people, you know, certainly have some kind of personality involved in the food. And we've got all of those things, but we've just never done anything with it. So I set up the Harwood Food and Drink Project towards the back end of last year, basically just to kind of shout about that. It's, you know, it's really cool, it's really special.
Hello, it's Paul Newbegin from The Past Podcast. Thank you for joining me for another Welcome to Leeds special episode. Today I meet Eddie Lascelles from the Harwood Food and Drink Project. Eddie chats about the gin, beer and other goodies that they're planning to make from the Harwood site. He also talks about their pop-up events and he mentions and teases Christmas. Now, Christmas may feel like a little while away, but it's coming quicker than I like to think. And he has now just announced online their new Christmas experience. So if you go to their website, the link will be available through the Welcome to Leeds Food Podcast channel, and you can find out exactly what the event is going to be about.
So we're collaborating with Whittaker's, who are based just north of Harrogate in Nidderdale, who are a small family-run distillery. Jane and Toby Whittaker, who, you know, have become good friends really, as well as, you know, business collaborators and partners. So they designed our gin for us using our botanicals. We'll make it very small batches in traditional methods, so 300 litre copper still. So if you're looking at 70cl bottle, you're looking at about 400 bottles per batch. We're having batch number 5 delivered tomorrow. Batch number 4 delivered tomorrow, beg my pardon. So it's still very early days, and, you know, it's a genuine artisan product, so it's very much on the kind of small end of the scale. But we've had some great feedback. You know, people really like the fact that it's local, it's got like a provenance behind what goes into it. They like the fact it's limited edition. So it's really pleasing, and actually the product itself is fantastic, as you'd expect from someone like Whittaker's, who make, you know, just great gin. So that was the first thing that we did. We then decided we're going to develop a range of seasonal ales, because obviously food should be seasonal. If it's seasonal, it tends to be fresher, it tends to be more environmentally sound because there's no distribution miles or transport miles. So it just makes sense in so many ways. If it's fresher, it tastes better. You know, it's just such a simple...
I was going to say that that's actually the first time that I met you, was I walked into Latitude, which a lot of people know is a wine and beer spirits merchant in Leeds, and you had your little stall there and you did the seasonal beers, and I think I tried the rhubarb one, which I took home and was really, really delicious. So how do you go about deciding your flavours for the seasons?
Good question. There's I guess firstly there's a sort of practical side to that, which is that, so we grow hops in our wool garden, and hops are obviously what make beer, or what flavour beer, one of the components of beer. But almost all the time hops are used dried, so they preserve them so you can store them and brew using them over, you know, a long period of time. We don't have the drying facilities at Harwood, so if you're going to brew using fresh hops, you need to pick them and brew them on the same day, which, you know, they lose their potency very quickly. So it's quite a nice story, but it's, you know, it's not very efficient in terms of labour and all that kind of stuff. So we want to make beer, we want to brew throughout the year, but we can only use our hops when they're ready, which is around now actually. We're going to pick them probably next week. So I just thought, you know, what kind of other adjunct flavourings can we put in that will still make a really nice beer but won't require using our hops? So, you know, how do you sort of bottle spring? You know, rhubarb, to me anyway, it kind of cries out spring. So we thought some kind of, you know, we want to make products that are a nod to tradition, but do it in a kind of contemporary twist. I know that's a very cliche sort of phrase to use, but so we made a traditional style bitter with just a kind of hint of rhubarb flavoured into it, and the rhubarb comes from the walled garden at Harwood. So our next beer was an elderflower ale, which is our summer beer. You know, elderflower for 4 or 5 weeks of the year is just everywhere at Harwood, everywhere you go. So abundant and amazing, you know, it's just the most delicious, flavoursome. Again, it just embodies summer to me. So that's our summer beer. As I say, our autumn beer will be using our hops that we pick in the next week or two. And then the winter beer will be using our plums. So we're going to do a plum porter. It's like a sort of deep, dark, probably quite high percentage porter. So just with a little sort of rouge tint to the colour, which I'm quite excited about actually.
Me too actually. The nights are turning cold now, so I'm ready for Christmas and that plum porter.
And your plum porter just to get you through those long cold nights. Yeah, that's the products. We're also looking to do a cider, so we've got tons of apples. In time we'd like to do other things, like, you know, we've got quite a lot of meat on the estate, so things like smoked venison or beef brazola or beef jerky or whatever it might be. But we're probably a little away from that at this point, but that's more in the sort of longer term future. But the second phase of what I want to do is to do pop-up supper clubs on the estate. So that's what we just had at the weekend just gone. We had our first event, which is called Hidden Harwood, which was a bit of a kind of magical mystery tour around some of the private land, private buildings on the estate that people probably haven't seen before. Because, you know, I think when people think of Harwood, they think of Harwood House and the land immediately around it, which is understandable, but there's so much more there. You know, 4,000+ acres of all this other private land. It's really beautiful and really fascinating. And that's kind of what I wanted Hidden Harwood to sort of take in, is that there's probably more to Harwood than people realise.
You've already spoken about how the project got up and a little bit about the future, and talk about the event in a second that you just had. What interests me is how much a part the estate plays, like you just mentioned, and how much part the history of the house plays, or the history of the estate, I should say, as well. Do you feel that sort of maybe a pressure, and that you have to stick with the tradition of what you can grow, but also it's like now you're bringing it into a new generation, it almost feels to me. Do you feel that pressure of maybe striking that balance?
I think somewhere like Harwood, there's always a certain pressure there, because it's a big and complicated place with a lot of sort of financial burdens as well, in terms of it costs a lot of money to keep looking how it looks and to keep it solvent. I think that in terms of the food and drink side of things, I just sort of put myself into the role that I'm most familiar with, which is being a consumer, and just sort of doing, you know, what do I like to eat and what do I like to drink and why do I like to eat it and why do I like to drink it? Yeah, it tends to be stuff that's just a bit special and just got a bit of a story to it, and it's, you know, excites me. And there's just so much stuff out there these days that doesn't excite me. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that does excite me as well, but I just want to make sure that I'm making something that I want to drink, I want to eat, you know, or experiences that I want to be a part of. So I think that what somewhere like Harwood must do, you know, we've got this extremely fortunate and, you know, amazing that we've got all this incredible heritage and history behind us, but we've also got an incredible and interesting future in front of us. And I think that the food and drink to me is such a sort of, you know, it's not even a passion, it's an obsession, you know. You know, I see Harwood as playing a really kind of key role in food and drink across, you know, obviously across the region around Yorkshire, but also further afield than that, because what we've got is quite special. And I think it's only right that that's not a secret thing, which it has been historically. It's just been a kind of something we've not promoted or celebrated. So that's what we need to be doing, and that's what I want to do with the project.
One of the things I think you've done really well that especially draws me to you guys when I first saw your bottles and look at your Twitter is that you've created a real identity, maybe about the brand and about how it looks. And I imagine that probably is quite easy when you've got such a strong identity of the house and what it can produce. And
yeah, I think we were very sort of careful about how we branded the project, because I think people's expectation is that you just put a picture of the house on all of your products and there's your brand, which was the easy thing to do. So therefore, it was exactly what we didn't want to do, because it's, you know, for me, it's a little bit kind of National Trust gift shop type thing. You know, that doesn't excite me. Again, it's
and
just
that completely is what it isn't, which is what I like.
Yeah, if you look at the symbol on the front of our gin bottle, which is concentric circles, and that's based upon a stone which sits on a hill at Harwood overlooking the landscape there. So on that stone is an ancient carving carved into the rock, which is about 4,000 years old. And that's what the symbol on the gin is. So again, it's that kind of nod to heritage, but doing it in a way that's hopefully just sort of evokes a bit of intrigue and a bit more, you know, again, it's there's more to Harwood than people realise. So just trying to move away from the image, it's just a big old house. And that there's so much more there that's really, really cool, really interesting.
What I like as well is I keep actually making this mistake of saying Harwood House, and actually what you're doing is showing off, like you say, what an estate can do and can produce, and like you say, the variety that you can get just from one patch of land, and that's what I like as well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Well, it's as I say, it's something that we as a family have known forever, and the kind of the older I've got, the more I've realised that actually it's quite special, and that we should really be doing something with it. And we've done bits and bobs in the past, but it just needs a bit of a focus and a bit of a sort of strategy behind it. And that's kind of what I've been doing for the last year or two.
I know you mentioned about, you know, eventually it's this UK or global wide, maybe even name the Harwood Estate or the Harwood Food and Drink Project. But it seemed to me like you've done it in exactly the right way, in that you've gone to sort of almost like the Leeds heavy hitters first and foremost.
Yeah, I think it's if it's done the way that I want it to be done, it's all about collaboration. So we're growing fruit and veg at Harwood, and we have the livestock there, but we're not actually making anything on site at the moment. So the gin is made by Whittaker's, as I said, and the beer, our first two beers are made with a brewery based in Garforth in Leeds called Quirky Ales, who are a small little microbrewery, but they make great beer and they're great guys to work with. Our next beer will be with Ilkley Brewery, who are obviously much more established, and then our winter beer will be with Roosters, who are based over in Knaresborough. So for the recent pop-up that we did, we collaborated with Josh Whitehead from the Ox Club. It's all about promoting, obviously, Harwood and its heritage of food and drink, but also hopefully providing a platform for other professionals and producers to give them a bit of a platform to kind of show what they do. You know, someone like Josh is such a young talent. You know, he's a great guy to work with, works incredibly hard. You know, that's great. And people like Whittaker's and people like Quirky Ales, who are small, privately owned, independent businesses who are young and looking to grow. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we've certainly benefited from all of the skills and their expertise, but hopefully they've also benefited from the kind of association, the connection to someone like Harwood. So if it's done the way I want it to be done, it's all about collaboration, it's all about mutually beneficial relationships.
I've interviewed Liz for the podcast, and one of the things that she was really excited about, but we didn't talk about loads on the mic because I think it was a little bit hush-hush at that time, was the collaboration that you're doing. We'll talk about that in a second, but focusing on your event now, the Hidden Harewood, I guess some, again, chefs like Josh and later on this must be really excited that they know where the produce is coming from, they know what they can do with it. Will you tell us a little bit about how that event went and what it was about?
Yeah, so it's something that I don't think we quite realised the scale of what we were taking on when we said, yeah, we'll do this idea, we'll do it across four different sites, so we'll have food and drink in all of them, shelter in all of them, even though two of them are outdoors. But we did, and we managed to pull it off somehow. I'm still not quite sure how. But it was just a hell of a lot of hard work went into it, you know, from all the team at Harwood, but all the amazing people that we work with. Josh worked his absolute socks off. We worked with an incredible front of house team called Ancilla, who do a lot of kind of pop-ups and events and weddings and all sorts of stuff. They were just incredible. Sophia Ribello, who used to work at the Leeds Beck University, she's now at Leeds City College, was just a force of nature. So there were just so many people that helped to make it what it was. And I think the feedback that we've had since the event has been pretty overwhelming, actually. I didn't quite realise the scale of the ambition of what we were trying to take on when we set out to do it. So basically it was set across four different sites around the estate, quite far apart, so there had to be transport to take guests from, you know, between each site. At every site there was food and drinks. So, yeah, it was like a kind of canapé and a drink in one, then there'd be a vehicle take you to your next where you'd have your starter and a drink, and then from there to the next one you have your main course and a drink, and then your dessert and a drink, and then on to the final site, which was all outdoors in this little sort of disused kind of folly up in the woods just to the north of Harwood House, which is called the Seven Eggs for some reason. Nobody quite knows why it's called that. But, you know, obviously it's in the woodlands, so that at this point it's dark, so there's no light, there's no power, there's no water. But we just thought we'd have like a big party up there afterwards. So we got 3/4 of a kilometre of festoon lighting in to light it up, and all the sort of up lighters to light up the trees. We had fire pits. We had a bar in this little folly. We had a big stretch tent there, so there's covering in case it rained. All of the seating was from sort of tree stumps and deck chairs and all that kind of thing. So it's very much sort of, you know, it was not fine dining in a conventional sense at all, even though Josh's food is obviously incredibly good. We just wanted the whole experience to be, you know, just forget about formality. Just, you know, food, you know, to me anyway, shouldn't be formal. It should just be fun and social. And obviously the food's got to be great, but the experience should be one that you just feel relaxed.
It seemed to me a little bit about, it wasn't just about showing off Josh as a chef and what you guys can do. It was almost like showing off the estate. Like you said, it's that hidden gems.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of exactly, you know, it was all of those things, really. It was, you know, it was Josh designing an amazing menu, which, you know, I mean, the boy is a bit brilliant. So one of his courses was, which is the starter, was a woodland broth with a venison dumpling, which is made from sort of offal and mince and all that kind of stuff. But the broth itself, so he made it by scorches wood. So he got apple tree wood, scorches it, steeps it in water, leaves it there for 24 hours, removes the wood, gets pine tree wood, scorches it, puts it back in the water, leaves it for 24 hours, and then uses that water to make a broth. So you get this really sort of woody, earthy, he boils it up with mushrooms and seaweed to get all these kind of really earthy flavours. So the brief to him beforehand was, you know, what would Harwood taste like? You know, what does it taste like? Design a menu and just kind of show me. And that is exactly what he did, but beyond our wildest dreams, really.
One of the things Liz was talking about when I was talking to her about the project that she has with you guys was about doing the estate rabbit, and she remembers serving it up to the owners of the house and being very, very nervous and what have you. It must be quite nerve-wracking for these chefs because there's a bit of a reputation there as well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, actually. I mean, I've never really sort of thought about it like that, but I'm sure it must be. But, you know, I mean, people like Josh and Liz and Mark are brilliant and confident. I mean, yeah, I know Josh was nervous before the event that we had last weekend, but he absolutely smashed it. But yeah, that rabbit dish, that is quite something, I've got to say. It's a bit spectacular.
Like I say, she mentions about that, and I saw that actually went onto their menu at home. And one of the things I think that she's doing with you guys is that sourcing an awful lot of their ingredients through what you're growing on the estate. Is that right?
So at the moment, we're at the start of what, you know, we all hope is going to be a long-term relationship between Harwood and home. At Harwood at the moment is something that would take me a little while to get my head around, but we're obviously not a commercial grower of anything. We grow in very small scale, so we're supplying what we can to Liz and Mark at the moment, but we've got a lot of plans to develop land on the estate which supports obviously the food and drink projects and its own products and its own activities like the pop-ups, but also to partner with local businesses like Home to supply them with what we grow and what we rear on the estate. So it's a developing thing. I think, you know, they love the thought of the provenance and the quality and the story behind all this, because that matters to people now, and so it should. You know, that's where something comes from and why you do it and who's doing it.
I think in Yorkshire as a whole, a lot of chefs are lucky that there is a hell of a lot of produce on their doorstep. Obviously, what you do get in bigger cities is that becomes a little bit more difficult, and it will be coming from, yeah, Yorkshire, but maybe a little bit further afield. But what you guys can hopefully do with Liz is Leeds produced and they're Leeds based, and that super locality almost. It sounds like something that's really exciting to me anyway.
We're all extremely excited by what Liz and Mark are doing. I mean, on a personal level, you know, they're great and we get on incredibly well with them. They're great fun and, you know, really love their ambition and where they want to take their business. You know, I think it's fantastic. But also on a, you know, on another level, what I'm keen to do is to align Harwood with the kind of people that I feel we should be aligned with in the food and drink world.
That's what I was saying about that, almost like you're going for the big hitters. And you mentioned there about being excited about what they're doing, but more my point is that I'm really excited about what you guys are doing as well. So that must be good to be around as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, as you can probably tell from the accent, I've not been up here very long. I've obviously always spent lots of time up here as, you know, holidays and weekends and stuff, but I've always lived in the south. So my wife, Safe, and I moved up here from London a couple of years ago, about 2.5 years ago now. So food and drink is my sort of love, and it's been a bit of a journey of discovery about the local scene, obviously in Leeds, which is on a doorstep, but further afield in Harrogate and York and, you know, all around the county. And it's just so exciting, you know, there's just such great stuff happening and brilliant people making brilliant things, and, you know, I want us to play a part in that. So that's kind of what I want to do with the project, is to work with those talents and local businesses that really love and care about what they do.
So these episodes are specials for Welcome to Leeds, and a part of it is obviously about showing off what's happening in Leeds. We've obviously mentioned Home and we've mentioned Ox Club, and obviously today is all about you. I wonder what excites you most about the future of Harewood in your world of Leeds, or Harwood. I keep this is Harwood.
Wow, yeah, what excites me most about it? Everything excites me immensely. It really does. But I just think that people think of Harwood, they think of the house and they think of the grounds and they think of the collections and the furniture and the paintings, and yeah, and that's all there and it's all incredible. But again, there's so much more to it than that. And food and drink is almost that sort of platform or the vehicle to show people that there's more to it than that. I find that incredibly challenging because there's always going to be a perception there about what Harwood is. But as I say, it's just doing something that I really believe in and something that really matters to me, because I think we can do some really interesting things, and I think that we can play a role, obviously, with Leeds and the local towns and local area, but also further afield than that.
What's the best way then to keep a track of what you guys are doing and future events maybe, or where to get, I mean... By the way, if you haven't tried either the gin or their seasonal beers, like I say, the rhubarb beer, I didn't get a chance to try the elderflower beer, but the rhubarb one, the bitter that I had, that was really, really amazing. So where's the best place for people to go if they want to try your stuff or see what you're doing? Or...
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so the gin and the beer, you can get a lot of independent shops, like obviously you mentioned Latitude in Leeds. If you get to Harrogate, you've got Wheaton's, you've got Aiken Humphreys, you've got Harrogate Independent Fine Wine. You can buy it in Knaresborough and Otley and Ilkley. So it's still such small batches that we're keeping it as local as we can. We'll be setting up an online shop at some point soon. You can keep up to date with what we're doing through our website, harwoodfoodanddrink.com. If you can sign up to our mailing list on there, obviously social media, Harwood FNDP or Harwood Food and Drink across Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning that all the links will be available through Welcome to Leeds. And also, if you follow me at Paul Noob on the Pass, we'll be linking to these guys at Harwood. All the events that you guys are doing, we'll be linking out as and when we see them. So all the links will become available there as well. So lastly, is there any sort of teasers you could give us as to what's next? Any, just even if you can just tease us.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's the products coming out, which I mentioned. You know, we've just been kind of really truly elated and just overwhelmed by people's feedback and how they found it. So if you search hashtag Hidden Harwood and just have a look at what people, you know, people's thoughts on the event, hopefully that should just give you a bit of an insight. But we want to plan the next one, and you know, we set the bar pretty high for this one, I think. So we've got to make sure it's bigger and better, or we've got to just do something totally different that people don't expect. So you know, if you keep an eye on all of our social media and mailing list, we'll obviously keep you up to date with that. But yeah, the cogs are turning, shall we say. So we'll probably do another one later this year. So we're looking at December, I'd have thought. And then next year, we should hopefully have a bit of a kind of full programme. But I think it's a bit of a case of we're not just going to do a certain type of pop-up. The more different each one is, the better in many ways. So we don't get pigeonholed as just one thing.
Can I just say as well that I am absolutely gutted that I missed it. So if you're like me, don't be like me, because let's just put it this way, I'm not missing the next one, because I saw the pictures and I was just like crying. So I had every intention to do it, but as I mentioned to you earlier, we went away and it just got pushed to the bottom and the bottom and the bottom. But trust me, enough, come hell or high water, I will be making the next event. So follow these guys on social media, or like say onto their mailing list on their website. Eddie, thank you so much for being our second guest on the Welcome to Leeds Past podcast.
The Past podcast is edited and mixed by Adam Linder from Bespoken Podcasting. Craig Fields from Ambient Light provides technical support, with thanks to Ruby Chow for booking support.